الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, there are many causes and reasons for the degeneration of the Muslim Ummah, the downfall of the Muslim Ummah. There are a list of reasons. Amidst these reasons is the fact that the Muslim Ummah is not united. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mentions three things that causes the Muslim Ummah to be casted away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they indulge in three things, or when they are not concerned about three important matters. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, إِذَا عَظَّمَتْ أُمَّتِي الدُّنْيَا نُزِعَتْ مِنْهَا هَيْبَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. That when my ummah glorifies the world, when my ummah becomes so consumed by just amassing the treasures of this world, then the awe, the grandeur, the importance, the loftiness of Islam will come out of the hearts. In fact, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out of the hearts. Nuzi'at minha haybatul Islam. It will be snatched away, pulled away from the hearts. People will not treat Islam as they ought to treat it, with that amount of reverence and respect, and follow the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happily. People will not surrender to the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a lengthy discussion. We need hours to speak on this. وَإِذَا تَرَكَتِ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ النَّهِيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حُرِمَتْ بَرَكَةِ الْوَحْيِ. And when they abandon calling towards good and forbidding evil, this lofty and noble work of inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forbidding evil, when they leave this, حُرِمَتْ بَرَكَةِ الْوَحْيِ, they will be deprived of the blessings of wahi. The ummah will recite Qur'an, but they will be deprived of the blessings of the verses of the Qur'an. This again requires a lengthy discussion. And the last part, and this is what we are going to focus upon today, وَإِذَا تَسَابَّتْ أُمَّتِي سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. When my ummah will quarrel with one another, when they will fight, when they will be bickering, quarrels, fights, arguments, سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ, this ummah will fall away from the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will fall away from the merciful glance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Sami', Allah is Basir. Allah sees and Allah watches everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shower His merciful glance on the ummah. And the result thereafter will be that the ummah, being deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will find itself in difficulties, in problems, in misery, in calamities. the enemy will be overpowering the Muslim Ummah. A very basic step, or the very first step to bring about unity, and it is such a simple action that many of us, including myself, we tend to ignore, neglect and overlook, and that is the subject and the topic of making salam. When we will make salam with one another, then this will create muhabbat in the hearts. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, very noble sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very old in age. He had a very close sahabi friend by the name of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Madina Munawwara, he joined and he made pairs of Ansar with the Muhajireen. One Ansari and one Muhajir. He said, you are brothers from today. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was paired with Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. They had a very close relationship. They would often visit one another. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala then settled down in Sham in Syria. And one occasion, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala is visited by two other Sahaba, or two other people. One was Ash'ath bin Qais and other was Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And perhaps they did not know who Salman Farsi was, how, what he looked like. So when they came and they encountered, when they questioned and they asked, inquired, are you Salman Farsi, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Initially, it was his humility, and we will understand his reasoning behind the fact that first Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says no. So they said, perhaps then we are looking for the wrong person, you are not the right person, we will search for him. He said, no, no, I think you are looking for me, but let me explain. The true Sahabi will be that person who will go into Jannat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, I was living in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I brought Iman, and I used to sit with him and benefit from him. In other words, I hope that I am also regarded as a true Sahabi in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala asked them, what has brought you here? So they said, no, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala has sent us to you. He said, Abu Darda? Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala immediately asked them, that where is the gift that he has sent? He said, gift, no hadiya. He said, ittaqillah, fear Allah. And speak the truth. So, Abu Darda must have sent a hadiya for me. He always sends a gift. Whoever has come from Abu Darda always presents a gift to me. Where is the gift? He said, look, there's no gift. He said, nothing. We've got wealth, our own wealth, take whatever you want. But he's given us no gift to give you. All he mentioned to us, that I've got a friend by the name of Salman Farsi, who is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this Sahabi was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when Rasulullah would be alone with him, he would not desire any other Sahabi together with them. When you go to him, convey my salam to him. The moment they said this, he said, that is the hadiyah, the gift I am talking about. Where can there be any hadiya gift better than salam? وَهَلْ هَدِيَّةٌ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ السَّلَامِ Instead of the hadiya, no material gift I was referring to. I was referring to the gift of salam for my brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the sahaba, أَيُّ الْإِسْلَامِ خَيْرٌ So in different occasions, different answers were given. In this particular occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ That you must feed the people. وَتُقْرِئُ السَّلَامِ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفِ That you must make salam to those you know and also to those who you do not know. Perhaps some of us may be making amal on the first part of the hadith that we make salam to only those who are our friends and relatives. What about those who we do not know and are Muslims? And as I mentioned, I require this myself, that we tend to forget, overlook, Yeah, there are times when a person is busy, engrossed in some important matter, and he does not take notice of somebody making salam to him. A person is reciting Quran, we should not make salam to him. Person is eating, we should not make salam to him. Person is in the toilet, we should not make salam to him. There are occasions when we should not make salam to the others. A great alim was walking, and he was reciting the Quran whilst he was walking. Many huffaz, they make door as they are walking, they recite Quran. They know the Quran so well. Somebody passed by, had made salam, he did not hear any reply. He took offense. When he found out later, the person said, I was busy engaged in tilawat. And therefore I could not answer you at that time. Nonetheless, there are various masail and etiquettes regarding salam. Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu ta'ala, what a beautiful name. He was a Jewish rabbi before accepting Islam. Before accepting Islam, he was a Jewish rabbi. And he was held in great esteem amongst the Jews. And he says, when Rasulullah SAW came to Medina, prior to that, I had checked the Torah and had seen certain qualities of Rasulullah SAW mentioned in the Torah. So when Rasulullah SAW came to Medina, I went, I observed him, I observed his face, and when I looked at him, I realized that this was not an imposter. He was a true, genuine Nabi of Allah. And he says, from the very first advices I heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving the Sahaba, the moment he arrived in Medina Munawwara, afshus salam. The first advice, that spread salam. Salam should become general and arm. How often we go for Umrah? We're in such a Mubarak place. A beautiful occasion of practicing on salam and making salam and spreading salam. If we find people are not making any salam. What about that sweeper on the street? Many times I tell my friends, he's also a human being, he's a believer, he's also an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make salam to him. Bring some happiness in his life as well. When a person makes salam, what does it mean? That you are free from any harm from myself. As-salam means peace. In other words, I guarantee you peace from my side. I will not harm you in any way. So when his brother hears that, he will say, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And I also guarantee you that you will be free from any danger from my side. And in fact, the mercy of Allah and his blessings be upon you. This is salam. So Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Rasulullah said, afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am. Make salam widespread. Widespread, not just amongst our own cliques, our own groups. It should be widespread. And feed the poor. And join family ties. And perform tahajjud at night when everybody else is fast asleep. What will be the reward? Tadkhul jannata bi salam. You will enter Jannah with salam, with peace. Allah guarantees you entry into paradise in an easy way, a blessed way, when you have these four qualities. And the first being making salam widespread. So we make salam to those who we know, and also all those, the people we do not know. Rasulullah had mentioned that a believer has rights over his Muslim brother. In one riwayat, five rights. In another narration, six rights. Amongst these rights was when your Muslim brother makes salam to you, then it becomes wajib, incumbent, necessary upon you to respond to his salam and to say to him, wa alaykum as-salam. If you add more words, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you get more sawab. You will come to that, inshallah. The person who enjoys a close bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the hadith is, inna awla an-nasi billah. The one who is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man bada'ahum bis-salam. Who commences salam, who makes salam first to the people. Especially, according to one riwayat, especially when two brothers had some argument. There was a fight between them. And they broke off all ties and relationship. The one who goes forward first And he makes salam, he is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith says, Al-Badi'u bi-salam, bari'un min al-kibri. The one who makes salam first, he is free from pride. We don't wait for the next person to make salam to us. Who are we? Do we regard ourselves more superior to the others? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us etiquettes of making salam. Amongst the etiquettes is the fact that the young people should make salam to the older ones. But himself, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marra ala subyanin fasallama alayhim. He goes past some youngsters, young children, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes salam first to them. This was his humility. This was his sunnah. This is what he showed to us. That you even make salam to young children. He tells Anas radiallahu ta'ala, O Anas, when you enter your home, then make salam first. Why? We all are waiting for barakah. He said, it will be barakah blessings for you and your family members. So we all want barakah blessings. Make salam as we enter home. We enter our homes, we should make salam. We will see the barakah. Rasulullah has mentioned, لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not enter Jannah until you have complete iman. Listen very carefully. He addressed us and he said, you will not enter Jannah until you have complete iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will not have a perfect iman, you will not have a kamil iman, until you love one another. I will repeat. You will not enter Jannah until you have complete iman. And your iman will not be complete and perfected until you love one another. That is the ummah. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not indicate to you such a thing that if you bring it into your life, you inculcate this quality, then you will engender love amongst yourself. And what is that quality? Afshu salam abhainakum. Spread salam amongst yourself. Make salam widespread. When you will make the salam, muhabbat will be engendered in your hearts. You will love your Muslim brother. The same person you had a fight with, now when you made salam, the pride is gone. The enmity is gone. Now you begin to love him. You overlook his faults, you make maaf. When this happens, the Muslim ummah is united. When the Muslim ummah is united, then nobody will seek to overpower the ummah. In fact, another hadith says, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ تَعْلُو. If you make salam, you will always remain dominant. We look for various reasons. And as I mentioned in the beginning, what brings our downfall? Disunity. And what brings us, what unites us, is making salam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had so much of concern for salam, it is recorded in the books of history. كانوا يجلسون بفناء بيوتهم. They would actually sit in the verandas of the homes or the yard of the homes, the courtyard of the homes, for the sole purpose that as somebody will be coming by, we will commence making salam to them and that they will make salam to us. Imagine sitting outside just so that the Muslim brother goes past and you can make salam to him. Abu Tufail rahmatullahi alayhi used to accompany Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallam, quite often, and he would go visit him. And every time he goes there, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala would take him to the marketplace. One occasion he goes and he says, come, let us go to the market. He says, what purpose have you have to go to the market? Every time we go to the marketplace, you don't purchase anything, you don't bargain, you don't ask for any price, you don't do any window shopping, as we say. So why should we just sit here to him and talk? He says, Abu Tufail, the only purpose I am going into the bazaar is so that I may make salam to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala goes past by Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. We are talking about the giants of Islam, the Khulafa of Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala happens to make salam and he hears no reply. Now to understand, you and I made salam, okay, he didn't answer and we forget about it. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala becomes upset that I made salam to the man, a person of the caliber of Usman, and he failed to give jawab to my salam. Something is wrong here. He takes the complaint to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who is Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time. This is after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Abu Bakr, I made salam to Usman. He failed to reply to my salam. Is that so? See how important the matter of salam is. He summons Usman. Usman radiallahu anhu goes, oh Usman, Umar says that he made salam to you and you did not make salam to him. What's the matter? He says, when did Umar make salam to me? He was baffled. He says, never. Umar takes a qasam in Allah, I came now. And I made salam to you and you did not give jawab to my salam. Usman radiallahu ta'ala. When Umar had gone past, radiallahu ta'ala, was in deep thoughts. Some great concern had overwhelmed him. And he actually did not even realize that Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, was standing in front or went past and he had made salam to him. And that is why he did not hear anything. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala, realized this. And he says, Usman, what was worrying you? What's the concern? He says, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen. The fact that Rasulullah SAW has left this world, and I'm concerned that I did not go directly to him and ask him to mention to me explicitly in clear terms that after he leaves this world, if there will be different types of fitan, trials and tribulations, affecting the Muslim Ummah, what will be the najat? What will be the means of salvation for the Ummah? And I am worried because I did not ask Rasulullah this question. So what is going to happen to us now? What is going to save the Ummah? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, don't worry, I had asked him this question. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, oh Abu Bakr, definitely nobody else beside you could have taken the courage and have asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, what is the reply? What was the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ma najatu hadha al-amr. He says, Rasulullah said, oh Abu Bakr, the same words that I had mentioned to my uncle Abu Talib as he was leaving this world and I begged him to recite these words. These are the words that will lead this the Muslim Ummah to salvation and success. And that is the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. If the Muslim Ummah holds onto this kalima, then they will gain success in the hereafter. Coming back to the topic of salam. This was the concern the Sahaba had regarding salam. Why then, when salam is such an easy matter, such an easy thing to do, still we fail and shirk in our duty and we become stingy regarding salam. Hadith of Rasulullah says, Ajazun nas man ajaza fi dua. The weakest of people is the one who is most weak when it comes to dua. He fails to make dua. He never raises his hands, he never begs from Allah. Allah loves that we should beg from him. This is the topic on its own. And then he says, Wa abkhalun nas man bakhila bis salam. The most stingy of all people is the one who is stingy regarding salam. He fails to make salam. He's not sharing his salam with people. He's not making it widespread. When he goes home, when he goes, he's walking on the street, Rasulullah said, فَآتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّ. Even the road has a right over us. And amongst the rights the road has, is that salam should be widespread. A person who makes salam on the road, then the other person should reply to his salam. So when we go to our offices, when you go to institutions, to our madrasas, when you come to the masjid, of course, not disturbing any person. When a gathering like of this nature is taking place and a lecture is being given, then that's not the time for the person to make salam aloud. No. Because then he will disturb the congregation. But outside the masjid we meet and we discuss every other affair besides even making salam first. Let us get into the habit. I myself have to get into, inculcate this habit. May Allah help us to make salam widespread. There was a sahabi who came to Rasulullah salam. Ya Rasulullah, I've got a neighbor. And I've been to him so often. He's got a tree that is growing in his yard, but the branches of which is falling into my yard, and it is causing a lot of taklif for me. It is causing me a lot of disturbance and pain because it's coming onto my way, the leaves are falling down, we are unable to cross easily, the branches have come across over his fence. I've told him to please chop off that branch, he refuses to do so. Ya Rasul, please speak to him. Rasul calls the sahabi. Ulama have explained, he was a Bedouin. So he did not know much about Islam, he was a new Muslim. Therefore, do not become surprised in the manner in which he responded to Rasulullah. Nonetheless, Rasulullah tells him, sell me this tree or sell me this branch. He says, no. So Rasulullah thought, perhaps he wants to give me as a gift. So he gives me this, give me as a present, as a gift. He says, no. Rasulullah realizes now he is becoming stubborn. He does not want to sell me the branch, he does not want to give me as a gift. He says, okay, then give me this, sell me this branch in lieu of a branch of a tree in Jannah. He says, no. On that Rasul says, I have never seen any other person, abkhala minhu mom, miserly than him, illa, except the one man bakhila bis salam, who is miserly when it comes to making salam. When you make salam to the person, you say assalamu alaikum, you get 10 sawab. And the person replies, he says wa alaikum assalam, 10 sawab. If he says wa rahmatullah, another 10 sawab. Wa barakatuh, another 10 sawab. 30 sawab. Allah's name, one of his names is assalam. The name of one of the names of Jannah is Darus Salam. Tahiyyatuhum fiha salam. In Jannah, the greetings of the inmates of Jannah will be salam. Before entering into Jannah, the angel will come and they will say, Salamun alaykum, salam upon you. In Jannah, the Jannatees will hear the salam from Allah. Salamun qawlam mir rabbir raheem. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. This subject is very lengthy, but the main thing, let us bring it into amal. Let's not look for the fault and wait and say, oh, see, he did not make salam. Oh, Mawlana, you give the bayan, and where is you didn't make salam? We all human beings, we make mistakes. Allah, give me the tawfiq. Sometimes a person is busy talking with another person. He's got some important mas'ala. Could be a divorce case, it could be a marriage case, it could be some important issue. Then at that time we have no right to intervene and go interject and disturb and go and make salam. No, then you go pass by. That is not being rude. That is the etiquette because the person is involved, is busy discussing some matter. By us standing around there, it is as though we want to eavesdrop. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat when we go home. Let us make salam widespread in our businesses, in the street, wherever we are, traveling in the aeroplane. Let us make salam widespread. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.